Doctor.
It's clobbering time.
Engage.
Shazam!
Chevron 7, lock.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight.
Kawabunga.
Welcome, inmates, to Heroes Asylum, issue 41. And I guess you could kind of call this our Halloween episode, because this will be dropping on the week of Halloween 2019. So here I am, folks, once again, me and Kane.
Hello, hello. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we had fun night last night. Knocked out a couple of episodes of the podcast. We did our trailer breakdown of Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, which is already out, folks. Make sure you do check it out. Quick 30-minute one. We got Steve-O debuting for the first time with us. Hopefully he'll be joining us like randomly on the show and for other things, including the Star Wars breakdown or the Star Wars retrospect, whatever you want to call it, where we watch all the Star Wars movies in order, release them out to you guys. And Steve-O is joining us on the original trilogy, and hopefully he'll finish it out with us. But that did drop last week, and this week you should be seeing Attack of the Clones coming out. So we have release, three releases this week, so trying to stay busy for you guys.
Busy.
Yeah.
It's busy.
But after that, we did stop by our watering hole of choice, and we got to hang out for the Cheers Altamont Halloween party. I want to thank you guys, Vinny Renee, through a nice shindig like they usually do, and Heroes Asylum was able to be part of the voting for some of the pretty cool costumes they had out there.
Really, yeah. I got to be honest, like, really just detailed. I mean, I didn't see too many Jokers. It actually kind of shocked me.
I think I saw one or two.
I think I saw two, and then I saw two Harley Quinns, which is per norm. And,
yeah.
But everything else was a lot of Maleficent costumes. Yeah. That was
a lot of big double horns going around.
Yeah, like everybody was wearing those Maleficent costumes, but they looked pretty dope. I mean, they all had the little interpretations on there, yeah. So.
Had our friend show up with steampunk Maleficent, and then we had a classic Maleficent, and then I think towards the end of the night, one of them I saw a drunken Maleficent with the one of the horns kind of falling off to the side. So I was like, yeah, okay, that's gonna look bad in the morning.
Oh yeah, I'm sure everybody had a grand old
yes, and a grand old morning. That's why we're here, folks. We're here to just recover from the week, recover from the weekend. That's why we like to do this on Sunday, because we get everything out of the way and we can start the week fresh and with a lot of cool news that's getting ready to drop. So without further ado, I think we're going to go ahead and bust out the admissions board.
News from the admissions board.
All right. So here we are, admissions board. It's a slow week. Luckily, we don't have any deaths to talk about, so I'm all cool with that.
Yeah, yeah. No more open up on Debbie Downers.
Yeah,
anymore.
Yeah. Sorry about that, guys. It was a rough couple weeks, but we're gonna jump in. There is some news that has dropped, so we'll go ahead and kill it, and we'll go ahead and start with a Kane. What do you got, man?
Yeah, sci-fi puppet show from Jim Henson Studios is coming to Disney Plus. Hey. Good stuff. Jim Henson's always pretty on par with his puppeteering work. He's a legend in the business, especially with what he's done with the Dark Crystal Resistance. It only made sense for Disney to scoop him up. But a talk show? I'm just wondering how that's going to be. I mean, are they going to go like a serious talk show? Are they going to go Space Ghost Coast to Coast? I mean, there's a lot of things they could do. I mean, the whole idea of a talk show with puppets is fascinating, but I just don't know where they're going to go with it. It's just, I mean, does it fit on Disney Plus? Is it going to be adult oriented? I mean,
I'm not. I would hope with it. And you said it was sci-fi.
It's a sci-fi puppet talk show.
Okay.
From Henson coming to Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. Yeah. Okay, then it may be. I'm gonna hope. In my heart, I'm thinking it's kind of like a Mystery Science Theater 3000, Space Coast. I'm thinking kind of that vein of where it'll be kind of tongue in cheek. But still have fun, where they interview people.
I don't know how they're going to do that. It's going to be a little strange, especially on the Disney Plus network. I mean, they're promoting family and, you know, all that other stuff that they usually do. So it's just
not so much when you actually look at what they've produced and what's going to be on there. Disney is a parent company. They have individual umbrella companies underneath them. Those guys produce some rough stuff, you know, some R-rated material. And so that's all going to be on the channel. And, you know, I think they're going to rely really. I don't think this is going to be the Disney Channel that we've thought of or grew up on, where it was, the Kids Incorporated or whatever it was, in the kids shows, and it was all, you know, the Mickey Mouse Club. I think they've grown up a little bit in that with the streaming service from everything I've seen on here. I'm not saying it's going to go, you know, drop me the F-bomb. But I think it's going to be – it'll be fun. I mean, when you really look at, like, Gargoyles, which was a Disney show, that was a very adult-oriented show. It was, you know, heavily, heavily based in, you know, Shakespearean lore. And
very Shakespearean lore, yeah.
So that's not a kid's show by any stretch of the imagination, and that's going to be on there. I don't think we're going to – I don't think we're going to have trouble with that. And it's not Henson. Henson passed away years ago. I think it's one of his sons. Is it can't remember if it's John that's doing it now. Jim passed away years ago for the puppeteering.
Oh, that's a downer.
Yeah, it was I remember that one too. No.
Sad day. See, I thought you weren't going to bring up any deaths.
Yeah, well, you started it, so I had to follow up.
You always gotta be a freaking downer. But that series is coming on Disney Plus. It doesn't have a release date or anything on it. No concept or ideas. But you know, I'm sure they'll come up with something pretty cool. Like I said, The Dark Crystal. If you guys haven't checked it out, Age of Resistance. It's on Netflix. It's really well done. Really well done. And the story is very, very deep.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Sketchies for life. So what do you got, Mike?
Oh, actually, this one dropped. I think it was Thursday I saw this coming out. They had announced a Netflix series or Netflix movie, I believe it was. Yeah, film called Thunder Force. And it was going to be starring Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer. If anybody doesn't know who Octavia is, she was in Mama, the horror movie that came out a couple of months ago. She's been in a few other movies. That's the most recent one that sticks out in my head. But it's basically supposed to be these two average middle-aged women get superpowers, and it's going to be comedic. So I was all kind of like iffy about it. I was like, I'm worried how they're going to do that. But again, some of the funnier skits of like Saturday Night Live, and I'll even go back out to Mad TV and Living Color, some of their funnier sketches was kind of poking fun at the superhero genre. So I'm kind of interested. You know, obviously they're still in the middle of filming, so there's nothing out there. We've just been seeing some pictures coming from the set where they're like donning like these leather suits and
kind of like X-Mini early 2000s type of vibe. It's not all black though. So I think it's like a dark navy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, like. Yeah, it is. Yeah, and just but they got matching. It almost looks very military, you know, very police in the way the style is.
Well, it looks very Judge Dredd almost.
Yes, thank you. That's kind of what I was trying to get the words out there. But yeah, that does very much look like a Judge Dredd type.
So you're gonna have two Judge Dredds with Octavia Spencer and Melissa McCarthy. Be interesting.
Yeah, but yeah, I am kind of interested to see what route they go. It can be taken. It can be done well because I've seen some done very well. God, what was the one? It was Thompson. It was back in the 90s. Blank Man. Blank Man. That's who I'm thinking of.
I liked Blank Man. Blank Man wasn't that bad. I mean, I know it was like a satire.
Yeah, and that's it was fun.
But I dug it. It was fun. Yes, you know.
Even what was the slapstick one? The superhero movie, because they did the scary movie stories or and there was a super. There was one called Superhero Movie, and it was kind of funny. And I was
I okay. Like those movies. I like those slapstick movies. Okay.
And I'm even a big fan. I'm a huge fan of The Tick, and The Tick just straight up just makes fun of itself. You know, in its own genre.
Great.
Yeah.
You will not have The Tick was great. The animated series I thought was a little bit better than the live action one, but Tick. Ugh.
Well, depend on which live action. The last live action, not so great. The one that was
the Hulu series. No, yeah. I think the one before the Hulu series was better than that.
Yeah, with I wish I could remember the gentleman's name. I love him as a like he's been on a lot of sitcoms. I've always loved. He was in Seinfeld as Putty, and He was in Rules of Engagement, a very dry Patrick Wahlberg.
Patrick Wahlberg, yeah,
something like, yeah. And he's always been great. And I thought he played the best Tick on television because he just had,
yeah, because he was the Tick.
Yeah,
he just had that voice, the size, yep. And he just acted like you said with that dry, just sense of humor and just like, you know, hello everybody, it's me, the Tick, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, so I can definitely see them doing it if they do it right. Don't insult. You know, there are things that we make fun of our own selves about and go that route. And hopefully I didn't see much on who the writers were, so I can't speak to maybe, you know, their source material.
I recently saw Melissa McCarthy in one of the books that we did on our Legends of the Long Box, probably a couple months ago, or maybe that was the Kitchen. She was fantastic in that movie. I like the movie a lot, so I don't know if they're going to try to add any kind of seriousness to this movie that she's doing. Probably not. But
they were saying it was supposed to be comedy.
Okay, but I just wish she would do more drama stuff. She was so good in The Kitchen.
Yeah,
really
good. I want to watch it because I do know the names of the actresses, or not the actresses, but the characters are a little different from what was in the book. So I want to see who did they change and why, you know, maybe why did they change it? Because when I was looking at the cast listing and who was playing who, I noticed a couple of the actresses were different named, or the characters were different names than what was actually showing up in the comic book. So I have to check that out.
I never understood why they do that when they do adaptations of a comic book. They always like change the names a little bit. I mean, I can understand like a character here and there, maybe adding one to the screen, but you know, just changing the names.
That's why I just haven't had a chance to watch it. It was. I think that one came out on a busy couple of weeks, so it did get shifted down to the back end of going to see a movie.
Yeah, if you get a chance, I think it's on streaming or Vulu right now. That's The Kitchen with Melissa McCarthy. Just check it out; it's pretty good.
I'll definitely have to check that one out now that I know it's out there. What do you got next?
Yes, sir. Daredevil and Jessica Jones, they may actually live on in the MCU. There's been talk now that Feige's in control of television, and basically Kevin Feige's the emperor. Let's just call it what it is. He's the emperor right now of the movie productions at Disney Studios and Marvel for everything. And there's talk that he wants to bring Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Frank Bernthal's Punisher to the MCU, which I think would be fantastic. You know, those series are dead, unfortunately. I mean, they're not going to bring them back, but to bring them in the MCU, I mean, it'd be very interesting, especially those. I mean, they didn't include Mike Coulter's, Luke Cage, because I think he's busy doing another series right now on CBS All Access, I think. But, you know, those three characters are pretty good. You know, thank God no Iron Fist, but, you know, Jessica, Daredevil, you know, those guys did a great job with those characters, especially Charlie Cox. I thought he kind of encompassed what Matt Murdock was as the lawyer driven that he was, and then, you know, the vigilante at night. So just having those guys in the MCU is, you know, it's kick ass, especially Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones. So what do you think, Mike?
That was actually something that was mentioned when they first rolled out, or when they first started rolling out the cancels, that they have to let the contracts die, and they were going to bring them back. This is just kind of a rehash of news. I think they're getting more, just dialing down on saying, hey, yeah, we're probably going to do these two first. But yeah, there was always been talk of we have to just let that contract die before we can bring them in. And of course, at the same time, when they dropped off of Hulu was when they announced the next phase. So obviously they weren't going to be able to do anything for this phase.
Oh, no. I'm sure this is like for like a couple years down the line, maybe 2 or 3 years. But, you know, just the fact they're going to keep that continuity together. I mean, just keeping those characters, because they basically, those guys basically carry their shows. A couple other side characters, pretty cool. To add them would be nice, too. Just don't add Jessica Jones' sister. She's terrible. You could add Foggy. I like the guy who played Foggy. He was good. Karen, don't add her. She's annoying. That's about it. Just keep those.
I think also there was talk with Punisher, too. With Punisher's possible TV show getting knocked out, that there's talk of also bringing him in. I think that came out earlier in the week as well. And they are looking at trying to keep the same actor involved, which I thought would be really good. Because I mean, I think he did a great job.
I liked him as Punisher. He, you know, that they, especially the first season of Punisher, where they explored the PTSD, post-traumatic stress of being through war. That was really, really well done. So
yeah, I wish I could remember who I was talking to. I was with an acquaintance. I think somebody at work said they had just finally like sat down to watch Jessica Jones, and they were just like they were blown away by the character. And they're like, I never knew, you know, they're like, I never knew about this character and what they were. And And I was like, you just did the first season. Like, yeah. I was like, I'm going to work my way up. I was like, well, don't, you know, obviously, you know, it ends. And she's like, yeah, but it still is just, I just didn't know that there were those types of characters out there. And that's when I started opening her up to, hey, you need to check out, you know, Daredevil, check out Luke Cage, because they all there's an inner threading weave going on through all the stories. Even, I know you're not a fan of Iron Fist, but he was still part of that world, and there was some weaving going in there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, their interweaving on Netflix is really well done. Even they even got to do their own version of the Avengers, the Defenders.
The Defenders, yes.
The Defenders, which wasn't as bad.
No, I thought it was fun. I thought it was fun to have them all there.
Now, when Sigourney Weaver died, I thought that's when the series took basically a shitter. That's because she was so good. And then you just kill her off, and then you just basically having them fight the Black Lotus. It just,
yeah, there were a few deaths that happened too quickly, I think.
Wait, it's kind of like Luke Cage season one when they killed Cottonmouth.
Yeah, exactly. That's one where I was like, you know, you had this great villain, and you're like halfway through the season, and you just kill. You're like, wait a second, why are you doing this? What? No, this was great. This could have gone on two seasons.
The whole season. Yeah, two seasons too.
And especially with how small they are. They're the mini seasons. I'm not a big fan of the mini seasons. I miss the long seasons, because I feel that you miss the growth of the character with those mini monster of the week or villain of the week episodes where they're just in some tiny town just dealing with life. You miss that. Nowadays with the mini ones, it's like straight to the meat and potatoes of the story. You don't get that fluff that helps you understand those characters. I know we've talked about this before, but like I always go back to like Supernatural. Some of my favorite episodes of Super, like just if, not story arcs, but just specific episodes I can go, I love that one, are the ones where they're growing or they're being a little goofy and you're seeing the actual person that's, you know, that the actual, you're actually seeing Dean and you're actually seeing Sam, not just them having to fight demons, you know, but you're seeing them just as regular people or having to deal with silliness, you know, that when Dean has to, you know, can only hear animals. You know,
I remember that episode.
It's one of the funniest episodes. It's one of my favorite ones, but you'll never get that kind of episode in these mini episodes or many seasons.
No.
And that's what I miss that, because helped you grow the character and love the character more.
Well, they have those minier budgets on the streaming services, and then when you go to a network channel, that they have a little bit more money to pay for those 22 episodes.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Kind of why, I mean, you got to shorten the storylines. It sucks you don't have those throwaway episodes that you would have with a Supernatural. It's unfortunate, but, you know, it's kind of like in the world we're living in right now.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see that some it looks like some shows they're willing to, you know, let them loose a little bit and go a little bit longer.
One show I'll talk to you a little bit about. So.
Next one, actually, this is a rumor that was been kicking around, and it's not from our lovely favorite rumor website. This one actually came from a fairly legitimate source. Brie Larson rumored for Kevin Feige's Star Wars as Ahsoka Tana. So let us breathe the evil out, and then we'll talk. I'm not a hater personally of Brie.
This is nothing against Brie.
Yeah, I just with Ahsoka. And this is something that George did from day one with every Star Wars character. You and I talked about this last night, and it's probably going to be the same kind of, you're probably going to say the same thing, was George brought in unknown characters and had known, or not unknown characters, sorry, unknown actors for like major roles. And then you had your supporting cast be these great actors. You know, nobody knew, I mean, I think other than maybe somebody might have seen something that Carrie Fisher did. She did some off stuff. Harrison from Graffiti, you know, American Graffiti. But other than that, everybody else was pretty much unknown, except for Obi-Wan Kenobi, Alec Guinness. And then that was pretty much it. So then you had Tarkin. Gentleman played Tarkin. He was, you know, from Hammer. So may have known that.
Yeah.
Same thing. They did the same thing when Superman came out, you know, in the 70s. They built a great supporting cast around two unknown actors, really, when it came down to Christopher Reeve and Margot Kidder. But you had a great, Paul Kent. You had a great actor that played, you know, Jor-El. You had...
You had Marlon Brando,
Ned Beatty. I mean, you had amazing supporting cast, but the core heartbeat of Superman was really the story of him and Lois. And that's what I think when they go to do these movies, and especially if you're going to be bringing in a great character that in the outside verse, outside of the cinematic universe, Ahsoka is everybody's heart. I've never met a Ahsoka hater. I've never met somebody that's like, I don't like her. Some people didn't like her at the beginning, maybe, but they grew to like her.
Sky Guy.
Oh, yeah, that was gosh. That's the one. Yeah, that one. Yeah,
terrible.
I wasn't a fan of the Sky Guy thing, but she grew, and you grew with her as you see her, and now you see her in Rebels, and it just so much growth with her. And I think that's what they need to do is find a unknown person. Don't bring in Bree. Bree's gonna bring not just her baggage that you come with in the social media nowadays and from the media. But you're going to get that Captain Marvel baggage that comes along with it. And that's kind of dangerous.
She's already Captain Marvel, so she's basically going to command another franchise. So why have her in, you know, another franchise under the same roof doing basically the same thing? I like we talked about last night, just get like somebody that we don't know to be a sub. Someone that we can connect with. Because I think Bree is she's pretty A-list actress mm-hmm. for that
yeah,
moment
now,
right
yeah.
now with a big paycheck, and you don't want the actor to overshadow the character, and I think that's what she would do. You know, people would just see Brie Larson, and she would just take, you know, I could just be me. And no, there's a kind of a certain mannerisms you got to be to Ahsoka. You know, Ahsoka's been through a lot of crap, and you have to harness all that in, and I don't think... Now, could Brie do it? Yes.
Oh, no, yeah, she definitely could, yeah.
But I just don't want to see her do it. I just think right now where she's at, like, you know, A-list level type of actress that... Just get somebody else. Get somebody
now,
else.
If they are going to bring her in Ahsoka in to do something, I would suggest to bring Brie in as somebody, as a supporting cast. And I understand.
Bring her as a villain. Yeah. Maybe like one of the Night Sisters. Yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
I mean, I can understand she's younger than us. She's about 15 years younger than us. But she is a Star Wars child. Completely get it. She grew up in that culture just like we did. And becoming an actress, I'm sure that was something in the back of her head. Man, I want to do Star Wars one day. But there's just certain limitations and certain things you should and shouldn't do. Be in Star Wars, just not that character. And I would suggest more of a background character for her. Not a background character, but a supporting cast.
Exactly. I agree. I would agree.
So. But if that does happen, I'm riding in the streets. That's just putting that
out there. Oh, yeah. There's going to be some theaters on fire. But with nobody inside. Just saying.
So what do you have next? And we're gonna have to get a lawyer with you and Steve now.
Oh boy, yeah. Especially if you heard the podcast Empire Strats. Anyway, next order of business: CW orders 9 more episodes to Batwoman, so it's gonna bring its season episode 1 episode tally to 22. So it's basically full season. You know, everybody usually gets a 22-20. So yeah, I guess the network has liked what they saw, despite some of the criticisms and the ratings and all that. Batwoman is getting a full season of 22 episodes, which the way they're doing it, I think we talked about this last week, is interesting, and I like the way that they're still including the Batman mythos in that show. They're not completely ignoring it, which I thought that's what they were going to do. And basically, Batman doesn't exist; he's nobody. Oh, here's Batwoman. Yay, she's the one that's going to save the city now. But no, basically, Batman is still a character in Batwoman. He's just not there, but he's like the overarching. He's like almost like this mythical figure that she has to live up to, and basically her cousin, you know, writing the memoirs, the diaries, and you had a great idea, by the way, of how to introduce Bruce last night, which I think is fantastic. But yeah, so Batwoman's getting a 9 more episodes to 22 for the season.
Very good. I'm happy. I, you and I said this before, and we'll probably say this until the end of the season for her. I apologize. I gut jumped, and I thought that something else was going to happen. I think it was the worst promotion for a show I think I've ever seen, or it could have been the smartest promotion for a show, depending on how you look at it, because it got people talking. But at the same time, if I was one of those people that, like, you know, if you turn me off with one thing, I'm not even going. They could have, I think they really hurt themselves with fans because of that, of the early trailers. You and I, on what we do here on the podcast, and also just our love of that art form, we're going to still check it out. We're going to give you the 5. We're still, you know, you still got 2 more to bite us. But after, you know, after the 5, we're going to go give you full, you know, thumbs up and say, you know, good job. But yeah, that was very odd on how they, did the promotion for that. And there's a lot of people out there that podcasters, YouTubers that I see, Facebook pages out there, they just straight up rip this thing apart. And I don't know what they're seeing or what they're watching, because some of the things I hear them saying and some of the people that I see bashing them are straight up the market audience for these, you know, women 30 to in their 40s. I mean, it's like their prime market audience is that, you know, is that female group. And actually, I think a couple of the ones I look at are part of the LGBTQ community, and they're like bashing. I don't know if maybe they're upset that that's not what happened, that they what they thought they were going to get didn't happen, you know, false advertisement in some sort of way. But I think the character's great. That you and I had, we didn't have that little conversation a few days ago, where we talked about the acting. Some of the acting to me is like great acting, and then some of the acting is high school theater. And it's like, I don't know if somebody's not taking it serious enough or if they're really pushing these people to not act as well and be very kind of dry. Because there's some shots that look like, don't take this the wrong way, but if anybody remembers the Canadian show First Night and how bad and poor those the screenshots were on that and the cinematography on that, that reminds me of like very poor, like early 90s, like Canadian television. The only one I always pops into my head is First Night. And then, but then there's other scenes where I'm just impressed the hell out of with Ruby Rose. I've seen her in a few things and I was like, okay, she's good, but there's some scenes in this that she just blows me away.
By the way, we do need that lawyer, as Mike is offended now, or
Canadians, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to need that
lawyer. And I threw in First Night, by the way.
That's a deep plug right there. Deep sweat. But, yeah, I would agree. Ruby, sometimes, like for me, she's good in some scenes. Some scenes she's not good. I think she hasn't really got a firm grip on Kate Kane yet. I think she's getting there. But, like, I don't understand the hatred. I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. That's what we like all this stuff is. And that's why we, you know, created the Heroes of Silent podcast, to get our opinions out there for not only us, but everybody else. But I just, you know, I just don't understand the hate. And I'm the biggest Batman fan of the mark in the world. And I was ready to hate this show. But, you know, we're now at, I guess, 3 episodes, probably 4 tonight. And so far, I can't say I hate it.
Yeah, you had to put your pitchfork down. Put down the.
I did. Okay. I had to put the pitchfork down. I had to call.
You were
guards.
Ready to storm that castle. You and me both. I was right there with you.
I was ready. I was at the gates of Wayne Manor. I was ready to riot. But you know, it's not horrible. It kind of fits into that CW world, and with Arrow leaving this year, I guess they're positioning her and Supergirl to be at that forefront. You know, gotta have, you know. I guess, what is it, the MCU? So we're going to have the DCCU now, I guess.
DCU. Okay. Well, because, and also you have the Arrow and the Canaries, I think is what the other show is that there's been rumored to start making.
Oh, God. You know what? I hope not, because Arrow this season has, well, they started last season with these flash forwards. I wish they would never do it. The flash forwards are horrible. I mean, they, with these stupid kids, they're just so annoying. That I like, oh, it just takes me away from the episode. Like, the first episode of Arrow this season was fantastic.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It was like a love letter to season one, and like, everything was great until they went to those flash forward scenes with their stupid kids. Like, I don't care about the Deathstroke gang. I don't care about his daughter. Oh, she's a badass, but she doesn't wear a mask. Like, what? There's canaries out there. Where are the canaries? How come the bunker's being rebuilt? What is going on?
You know what, like, you know it, what just, it really sounds like? It sounds like their attempt to do an Arrow Beyond, in a way. Like, instead of a Batman Beyond, since we were all clamoring for that one, they're like, well, we've already stolen everything from Batman. Let's do an Arrow Beyond, and let's just call it, you know, Arrow and Canaries, and it's going to be in the future. Because you're saying there's a Deathstroke gang. It sounds like the Joker gang to me. You know, so it just sounds like that's what they're trying to do. I'll give it a shot. I'm not a big fan of it. I liked the when they stuck closer and brought in Connor. For actually showing that he was the Arrow, you know, that he was the next one. I just Connor Hawk, you know, when they brought him in a few seasons back, you know, being Deagle's son, I thought that was kind of cool to bring that in. But I've also heard a rumor for the CW, and I don't know what you think about this, but I think you've mentioned it before, but it seems like they might be going that way. But if they do this flash forward and they strap Deagle with a ring, what would you think about that?
Now that I would love.
But they do. But they do a fast forward. They have to take it and put it into this universe with these girls now. And they'll be like the, they'll intermix like the other shows have late in the last, you know, 8 years. They'll intermix it, but in their timeline.
I would do it. I mean, they already mentioned it before in last year's crossover, especially with the John Wesley Ship Flash when he looked at Diggle and he's like, "Hey, John, I didn't recognize you without your ring." And he's like, "What?"
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a little nugget they threw in there, and I was like, "Well, hopefully they'll pay that off."
Yeah. Let's. And there's been some more talk again. It's one of those, you know, the rumor will pop up every once in a while about Diggle, and I think that would be a cool nod. And if they did pick that up and run with it,
I'll do it. Why not?
Yeah. All right, so is that the last of your news?
Yes, sir.
All right, mine too. So we'll go ahead and get out of the ward. All right, so what we were, like I said at the beginning, this weekend we did, you know, we were a little late to the game. We didn't have a time to get everybody together, but we finally were able to schedule it about, you know, 5 days later. But we did do the trailer to Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. We did a 30-minute long episode, just a breakdown. We watched a few seconds of the trailer, hit pause, talked about what we saw, moved on. So I thought it was, I'm gonna just do a quick one for you guys. I think it was a great looking trailer. It now put me on the fence. I think we've talked about this before, where I was on the fence, like, or I was all for, you know, Mandalorian, and I wasn't super psyched for the movie. I'm now on the fence. I'm like 50-50 for both of them. My excitement's like straight down the middle. So we've got about 3 weeks now until we see Mandalorian and get our first true taste of something new from Star Wars. And then after that, we've only got another month and a half, or not even a, probably yeah, less than a month. So literally, we've got jumps. We had trailer now. A month from now, we're going to have Mandalorian. And then a month after that, we're going to have Star Wars. I mean, this is just... just Star Wars all over the place for the next 2 months, I'm so psyched for it.
Yep, this is the time. This is Star Wars season. I mean, this is the last of the trilogy. I thought the trailer was pretty good. It's basically it's a rehash of 9 movies he's basically doing. So it's basically a series of scenes, and then you see the growth and development of Rey now, because she's basically a full-blown Jedi, I'm guessing, at this point right now.
Yeah, we're just guessing.
Well, I'm just guessing. I mean, I don't know. Maybe she's not. Maybe she's, you know.
I think that what I thought was kind of cool about this one is something I didn't mention during that, but we really didn't see much of the old cast. I mean, if you really think about it, I understand, you know.
No, two
are dead.
They want to kill them all.
Yeah,
so.
Two are dead. One actress is really dead, you know, rest her soul. But, you know, those characters are gone. We did see one scene with Leia. But, you know, of course, you have your constant, we always thought we were talking about the supporting cast. You still have Chewie, you still have R2, still C-3PO. And this is the one trailer so far that we actually saw R2. Remember, that was one thing I kept going, where's R2?
Yeah.
It was like, we never saw R2. And now we did. So I was happy that this seemed there.
I just have a bad feeling they're going to kill R2. If they do that, that's going
to
piss me off.
I think it's the other way around, to be honest. From what I sort of hinted or suggested at, that we saw C-3PO with the red eyes. I think what we see in that trailer is him before the red eyes. That's why he makes that quote, that little heart-tugging quote, you know, I'm just taking one last look at my friends. And I think that maybe whatever he turns into, maybe they have to end up killing him or something. I'm not sure if they're going to turn him into the... I wish I could remember the name of the character from Dr. Aphra.
That's what I was just thinking, that they had like the darker versions of 3PO and R2. They were like red and black.
Maybe they took that version of that C-3PO version and took his memory chip, and that's what they stuck into C-3PO. So maybe that's a way that they'll connect some of the exterior, you know, because that's always been the argument of they don't connect the expanded universe with the movies that often. But we saw a few things that connected that. We saw what we assume
the
is ghosts. Yeah.
Saw the ghosts.
But, you know, as far as any of us that are concerned and who knows the ghost ship, we are saying that is ghosts. We're saying that was the Tantive IV. We're all saying that because that's what we know. But, I mean, I know they could go and say, well, that's just the same model as that ship. But, you know.
I don't understand the whole thing. I mean, Kathleen Kennedy, when she took over for Lucasfilm, I believe it was in 2011 or 12. She went up on stage and she said, like, okay, you know, the legend stuff is basically going to be one category, but everything from going forward, video games, comic books, TV series, movies, is all connected. Those are her words. And yet, She has not followed through on any of those, especially with the movie.
We've seen some. You have to be like, but, you have to have like, but like
you really have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, you look. Have to. I mean, there's some deep Easter eggs that you know, I think Last Jedi, I think there was something in Luke's hut. Or there are two things in Luke's hut that, you know, that are callback to something that happened in the expanded universe or in Rebels. Clone Wars. So there's little things here and there. But when you put a ghost looking ship neck and neck with the Millennium Falcon, you know, to me, when I look at that scene, all I see are a bunch of ships. I don't even see shapes or anything but Falcon and Ghost. That's it. So I mean, and like I said, even the Corvette, you know, the Carillion Corvette, it's got to be the Tantive. It's just maybe it's, you know, Leia's hand me down that, you know, that she kept, you know, after that was her last piece of memory from her dad or something. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, it was the nice thing to connect all that stuff with the past. I mean, we saw a lot of cool things. We saw the Emperor, sort of, I guess.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
on his little, on his mini Walker throne.
I just have bad images. Just when I saw that, just like, bad images popped into my head of like him on like these like metallic walking like spider legs on a throne.
Did he get the spider legs from Darth Maul?
Yeah,
when his legs are cut off. I mean, I don't know. I hope that's not what
yeah
it
but
is.
That's his first thing that popped
I hope he's just floating, but you know,
it looked like there was too much walking. Like when you actually watch that scene, I've watched it enough to where like you see like the rhythm of a walk, like his robe is kind of shaking with him. Like I don't know about that. Well, we shall see. A couple more months, but we have our
December 19th. Yeah. We'll be there.
Yeah, we will be there. We are actually going to catch the early screening at 7 or 7:30. We'll be able to have I'm going to bring some recording equipment and we'll do a quick breakdown. Try to keep it spoiler free. That's going to be tough. Yeah. Right?
That'll be hard, but we'll do our best.
But it'll just be a quick one. All right. So, do you have any CW news? Because I know we
there was not too much that happened this week. Not too much. We got like a small video of them filming what looked like a scene with the Anti-Monitor, which looked really cool, by the way. It was basically all the CW heroes charging at the monitor and basically all of them just flying back, you know, just showing the power of the Anti-Monitor. So it's just not that much. No casting, costumes.
I think the only thing I saw was Brandon's last day of filming.
That's about it.
That was the only thing. Yeah, that was kind of a little heart tug, you know, because he was one of the heartbeats, you know, one of the constants in Legends.
He was always one of the OG members too. He was like the heart. He was the goofy one.
Yeah, because you lost Stein. You lost, you know, Rip. We lost, you know, Citizen Cold. You know, you lost a lot of people from the original run. It was him and I think Canary.
The Hawk people.
The Hawk. Oh, yeah, the Hawk. You see, that's what I mean. It just, they dropped, which I was kind of okay with them. I think did Vixen?
I was not a fan of the Hawk people. They were horrible. Oh, they were just so bad. And the thing about it is they're so cool and they made them so bad.
Yeah.
Just really, just like, very like teen romance. Oh, but we've been in love for centuries. I'm like, come on, man. We know that already. But why you gotta keep throwing it in her face every 5 seconds? Like every time. But you know, we were in love back then.
I still think the best Hawk person was Michael Shanks in Smallville.
Yes, Michael Shanks was fantastic.
Just war, you know, torn and every, just any, just like, screw you, I don't trust you, I don't, you know. All I care about is her, and she's gone from my life. And I think that was great to have that.
He was so good.
They should have just recast it, but kept that same character to it.
Even though he was very Batman-like.
Oh, extremely,
Very Batman-like. But it's okay. I like the war-torn, like, you know, Hawkman. He's been through the crap. He's lost his love, and he just doesn't want to do it anymore. It's like I told you, like, my favorite versions of our Batman is when he's older. That's why I always, people want to, they pitch a stink about, like, oh, why is Ian Glenn cast as older Bruce Wayne? I go, I love older Bruce Wayne. That's the one who's been through the wars, like Batfleck, when he was older Batman.
He's been
through the shit. You know, he knows what he's doing. He's not a young 20-year-old punk kid. No, he's like the 45, 50-year-old, hey, I've been through some shit. I know what's going on. I can help you out with this, and you basically can still kick your ass.
Yeah, it was that one scene where you see the Robin costume. Not only there was like multiple messages with that. I guess that's one of those classic, you know, pictures worth a thousand words. When he stopped and looked at that, there were so many stories.
No dialogue,
were told. Yeah.
With his eyes.
Yeah, you already knew. He was a war torn character. He's got loss. And then in your head, especially if you're a fan of the books, you run through the death in the family story and everything. And it was just like with just that one spot, and that's why I see some of the stuff that Zach did on there, it was poetry just on the screen. And again, we're another sore subject, but we won't bring that one up again. We'll save that one for another day to rip the heck out of that one.
That's gonna be a fun one.
That would be it for Brandon. Hopefully we'll see him doing some other things. I thought it was great for him to come back.
He'll do something else. Brandon's not going to be without work.
No,
trust me, not for long.
I think it was really great that he came back. You know, it was kind of cool that they would recast a already well known character in the DC universe to play another well known character. Are somewhat known. He was a little different. Although I wasn't quite sure on his Ant-Man. It still kind of bothered me a little bit. It was too Iron Man-ish.
Yeah, but...
But I understood the mechanics that they needed to have him looking a certain way.
He was more Tony Stark, less mm-hmm. scientist. Yeah.
That was my only downfall for that, but I still was great to see an Adam and have him in there. But he will be missed in the CW.
Yes, he will be missed.
All right, so I guess we'll jump into Legends. I only have a couple of books, so we'll go ahead and jump on over to that.
Legends of the Long Box.
All right, so what we have for Legends, it was kind of a weird week. I didn't see many. I think I read 7 books. No, I've only read 6 books. I take that back. One I'm saving. I had to put one to the side because I haven't completed catching up to what I need to start reading the Batman and Superman run that you were talking about before. I need to catch up to the metal ones that come up to that point. So, but the Marauders number 1 for X-Men to build them building the new universe. We get to actually see the Marauders, see what kind of characters that they are now. And who's involved with the Marauders? It was definitely a interesting book. I'm loving the artwork and the story that these guys are doing. Again, this is part of that X House of X and Powers of X storyline. And this is the second book of the series. I reviewed the one from last week, and right now it's the Marauders, which is basically going to be. It shows Iceman, Bobby, Storm, Emma Frost is involved in the storyline. Bishop, who is here as sort of an assistant to Xavier, and Kitty is on here. And Kitty was great. It's a fun. I've talked to you guys about Krakoa in the X-Men universe and these flowers that are around. And if you're a mutant, you can walk up to it and travel from place to place through these flowers. Well, Kitty Pryde, her superpower is being able to walk through walls and go anywhere she wants to go. The flower doesn't like her. The Krakoa, the island, doesn't like her, so it will not allow her to travel like everybody else does through the flowers. So she is stuck having to captain a ship back and forth, and that is the Marauder. And it's kind of a funny thing because she's just so frustrated that she can't. Go. She's like, I can go anywhere. I can walk through that wall, but I can't walk where everybody else, every other mutant can go. I have to go the long way around, it's almost sort of a poetic thing for her. But through it, you see that Emma Frost is working because Emma Frost is part of the new X-Men, country. She is sort of their CEO. She's their treasurer. She's in charge of trying to make the country money. And Emma's trying to. There's a new drug out there that Krakoa has designed for humans to cure them of cancer, extend their life out 5 years, just do so many different things to help the human body. And one of the things is that they want is the mutants want to be recognized as a free people and to be recognized at their home, and they'll give them medicine out for free. Just recognize who we are. Recognize our sovereign country now. And we will have, you know, ambassadors coming and going. Anything that happens to a mutant on your land, turn them over to us. They will answer to our laws. Very, very diplomatic. But the But Emma's wanting to try to help the people that are pro mutant, because Xavier's like, no, nobody gets it. If we don't get it, then nobody gets it. And Emma's like, well, we can actually sell it to the people that are pro mutants. So her and Kitty have set up a little system where she'll be able to help out with that. And Kitty is also responsible for bringing Logan his treats, because the island is, well, it's an island, it's nature. They don't make beer and scotch and cigars, so she,
man, poor Logan.
He has to give her a shopping list for a month's supply of, you know, cases of scotch and, you know, beer and foods and his cigars.
That's great. Do they have a panel where they just show the shopping list? Like, yes. Just yep. Crown, Coke, yep. Cigars.
Yeah, it does show the shopping list. And it also, like, he even, like, makes a comment about, hey, go see this guy, go see that guy about doing this. And, but no, it's like I said, it's pretty fun. They start seeing that certain places are blocking off these flowers. To stop, like Russia, there's an area in Russia where they won't let their mutants leave. They're like, no, they're citizens of Russia, not, you know, not of Krakoa. They're Russian citizens. They were born here, so you they can't go to this supposed island that's out there. Hmm. And that's where Bishop steps in. He's kind of like reporting on the comings and goings of what's happening. Oh, here it is. Kitty, I owe you one. Here's my list. Ribs from a rendezvous in Memphis, and they'll FedEx it to you. Canadian Club whiskey, suds, Cubano sandwiches, pomade, the dapper dude one, coffee, and that's it for now. Hey, had an idea when you get here about the gate will work from this side for you. Worth a shot, because he's trying to help her, you know, be able to, you know, go back and forth, but yeah, that is Logan's shopping list.
I love it. Canadian whiskey.
Yeah. And they're like, I didn't read everything. It said Canadian whiskey, and then on the side it said, you know, there's like a little, hey, you make sure you go to this shop to pick it up or something like that. And like with the book, it's really cool. It's not just the panels of what you're, you know, seeing them do and stuff, but there's actually like info panels, so a full page of info. And that was one of them, was a full page of just his list.
It's definitely one I have to pick up, like I said.
It is. It's a new one. You just kind of got to, I guess, kind of hurry up to get to it.
Yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
Next, did you have one?
No, not this week. I didn't get to make it out to Josh and the boys.
And let's see, Batman Curse of the White Knight, the next series, or number four of that series came out. Definitely just got to pick it up. This one, Barbara has decided to go after Azrael, because Azrael has killed Jim, her father. And so she's deciding to go take revenge and to go to,
well, now which Azrael is it? Is this Jean Paul Valley or is, no, it the other?
Well, it is Jean Paul, but this is the White Knight series where he's actually like a retired mercenary.
Oh, okay.
So he's really old, yeah. It's a very different one. That's what I'm saying. If you've never read the White Knight series, this is like the second part of that series. And it's definitely a different book. This one, she goes after him with Bullock's help. Bullock catches her trying to get into one of the cars. He's like, "Where are you going?" And she just turns around with her gun in hand. "I'm going to kill him." He's like, "Good, Missy." And then they hop in the car and take off together. And then the only one I had from Marvel this week, the second one I had from Marvel, Amazing Mary Jane 1. Yeah, I gave it a shot. It's basically Mary Jane on set of a movie about Spider-Man. And the guy that is supposed to be playing Mysterio is another actor, and he sort of vanishes, and the real Mysterio steps in, and he just wants to do it to get his acting career back. So it's very odd. It's not very action-packed at all. You see a couple of scenes where she calls Peter, and he's like swinging around town fighting people, you know, using his Bluetooth. But that's about it. It's very odd, very not comic booky enough. I guess maybe not guy comic booky enough or boy comic booky enough. I think it's very girl comic book, because it is basing around her, and there's just no action. It's just the storylines. Again, first run, so it's or first issue, so it may just be that. Maybe just building from there.
Maybe.
And then I was in the middle of reading the Journey to Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, which is a mini comic book that they're running every week up until there. And it just shows you some things that are building up between Last Jedi and what's going to happen here. And that's where I did, like I said, I haven't finished it, but there is a couple of scenes where Leia goes back to goes to Mon Calamari to try to get the help of the king there. And especially after Akbar died, and we are introduced to Akbar's son. So I think, and if you guys saw what we were talking about the trailer, I think you actually see that character in the trailer.
Well, hopefully he doesn't go out like his dad did. That's all.
No, let's hope not. You know, that's
one of the worst parts of that movie.
Yeah, I would say it was sad, but I mean, he's a general. How do you think a general wants to go out?
Yeah, but go out just like that. Oh, by the way, Admiral Akbar died. Like. You should want that like more like what's her name? She had the Hondo. Hondo went out heroically. Yeah. She had the Hondo maneuver and it blew up the entire all those Star Destroyers. And Admiral Akbar just gets like, oh, boom, I'm dead.
Yep, sucked out the window.
Like, what a way! I know they wanted to get rid of the old characters, but damn, they just like blew him off and like not even he was just mentioned. That's it.
How do we get rid of how do we get rid of Admiral Akbar? I don't know. Just open the window; he'll fly out like the fucking bugs do in your car.
Yeah, I guess it's not a trap. Boom, dead. Like. I don't know. It's got a little bit more respect.
Yeah, it was characters. A little bit more. I think there could have been a little bit more. I think he should have gone out with the way she did.
Yeah,
because I don't really, now that you mention it, now I'm actually thinking about that. I don't see the importance of that, of her. Fact of having a new character to do that. That could have been Akbar's way of going out like a hero.
Like he is, yeah. Like we've built up. Akbar's been built up. We know who this guy is.
I mean, everybody Hondo knows who this guy is. If you've ever seen a meme on Facebook, you know what "it's a trap" means.
Yeah, every single time. I mean, especially the one they did at Family Guy. It's a trap. It was like a trap cereal or some stuff like that. I think it was like crap. Like it was some horrible cereal they created. But yeah, he should have won that with Hondo.
Yeah, that should have been him instead of Hondo. Because I really don't see I don't see anything that she added to it. I mean, great actress. Don't get me wrong. But what did the character add other than that she was an old friend of Leia? Well, guess what? So was Akbar. I don't know. I think it might have been doing the checks and balance of having a female character in there. That's really, I think, is all I see the reason for it. But that is neither here. That is Last Jedi, and it has already been printed and put out to the world. So we just have to deal with what we have.
Yeah, they're not going to change it. I know there was a poll. What was it? The poll? There was a poll like a couple years ago. They were trying to rate. No, there was a GoFundMe that was started by fans, and they were trying to raise money to redo The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to do that, redo the prequels.
Yeah.
Don't redo The Last Jedi. I mean, come on. But
that's pretty sad. Really, you're going to spend that much time and that much money. You could probably take that money and put it towards something good for the community instead of that.
Yeah, that's a little, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little much. All right, so this was a short episode. It is Halloween week. We're getting prepped. I got to, get all sugared up and candy high so I can go out there and, stalk the neighborhood and hide in bushes and jump out at people.
You're one of those guys.
Yeah.
Huh?
Normally what I do actually, and this is a sick and twisted thing, but your toilet paper tubes, your cardboard tubes, take those and cut little eye holes in them. Then take a glow stick, crack it and stick it in there and put a toilet paper on either end so the lights won't come out and stick them with the light, the eyeballs flashing out of the bushes in your neighborhood. It's harmless fun because all they're going to see are little glowing eyes sticking out of bushes.
It's not a bad idea.
See, yeah.
I'll have to do that. I mean, I'll be working on that Halloween, so maybe I'll just put them in the bushes.
They're glow sticks. Yeah, those things stay good for hours, so, It's just one of my small little joys I have.
Yeah, Captain Mike likes to frighten children.
Hey, I'm not there. I don't get the enjoyment because I don't see them. I just know it's there, and if I hear a random scream outside at night, I giggle softly to myself.
Yeah, we really do need that lawyer.
All right, folks, don't forget, check us out on heroesasylum.com. That is where you will find all of our shows. We do have the Heroes Asylum here, and also we do have the Midnight Movies where, like I said, last week we debuted the Star Wars Revenge, no, shit, the other one, Phantom Menace.
Debuted
Phantom Menace. This week we will be debuting the Attack of the Clones. Again, these two are just with Kane and I, but hey, it's fun. We have a blast doing these. And like I said, every week we will be building up to the last one before Rise of Skywalker. And but make sure you guys do that. Do go to the Heroes of Silent Page and get to the movie, Midnight Movie, and subscribe that way, because Midnight Movie is now on a different feed. So if you guys aren't hearing your Midnight Movies anymore, make sure you guys go and find them there. It is out there on Spotify. Just type in Midnight Movie. Look for our logo. It's a little red theater with our logo in the background on the screen. So check that out. So that way you guys are subscribed and you are not missing everything. All right.
Yeah, I definitely have to drop some more reviews on there. Maybe I'll do one in the kitchen.
There you go.
We'll see what happens.
All right.
Like Captain Mike says, we are on Twitter and Instagram. Actually, we're putting a lot more content out on Instagram. If you can see some pictures that occurred last night.
Oh, yes.
There's a couple from the Halloween special at the Winchester. So check those out. And at the Heroes Asylum, Twitter and Instagram. And as always, get to the asylum.
Peace. Have a good week, folks.
See you.
This has been a Heroes Asylum production.